I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading the first 20 verses, though we'll give our attention especially to verses 15 through 20. 15 through 20. The first verses give us the introduction, the background, how it was that Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, the scene of the angels, and then, of course, our text is going to be, once the announcement has been made, what do people do with that? Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. Hear God's word and receive it with a believing heart. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those who with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known that the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. There ends the reading of God's word. May he also add his blessing to it. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a very familiar passage in front of us this morning, one that the boys and girls perhaps have even memorized. I was in my chiropractor's office this week and told him that I had to preach on Christmas Day. He said, "Well, at least you know what the subject is going to be. That makes it easy." I said, "Yes, I do, but the challenge is to bring it in a fresh way." And I don't want to do that in any way by bringing novelty to the sermon, but rather for us to once again come to a familiar passage and to look at it, to enter into the story, so that we might respond to this familiar story. You see, that's the question for us this morning, congregation. We already know the story. We already know the events. But how will you respond to the message. In a sense, we have some patterns laid out for us this morning in the verses 15 to 20. And I'm going to summarize it with just one single word, the word birth. And for each of those letters of the word birth, I'm going to give you a word to say, how do we respond to Jesus' birth? The first word for B is behold. We need to behold Jesus' birth. You find an outline for you on the last page of your bulletin this morning. And that comes from verses 15 and 16. Notice the emphasis on going to see, look at, behold, observe. In verse 15 it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see. Let us see it with our eyes. We've heard about it. The angels have announced it. And so there they were, out in the field, and they're discussing with one another. We don't know if there were two or five or ten, but there were they were discussing. Let's go see it. And I don't think they were saying, let's go see it to see if it's true. No, they were saying, let's go see it because the angels have made it known to us. Let's go see. Last year, our family had heard news that there was going to be an eclipse crossing the United States of America, and the center of the eclipse could be seen down in southern Illinois. And so we looked at the calendar, and we looked at what the scientists were saying, and we planned a trip, and we were in the right spot at the right time because we wanted to see exactly what we were told was going to be there. With the same kind of certainty, the shepherds had been told in a more majestic way from angels, and they said to one another, let's go see it. It was not the doubt of, did you see what I thought we saw? No, it was, we are going to see what we know is there. And so they went, and we are told in verse 16 that they went with haste and found. They saw. It was made known. And they found. In other words, they set themselves on a mission to go and search it out. Now, what were they looking for? Well, first of all, they were looking for Bethlehem. And of course, that would have been natural. It would have been nearby where they were. They were out in the fields outside the city of Bethlehem, as small as it was. But if you back up to verse 11, what else were they looking for when they set out from the field? It wasn't only where they had to go, but what were they looking for? We learn from verse 11 that they were looking for a baby. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. And what else were they looking for? They were looking for a Savior. And that, of course, they weren't sure exactly what to look for. They were looking for a baby. The other details we know from verse 11 was this. Excuse me, verse 12. Here's the sign. There were three things that they were to be looking for. Number one, they were to find a baby. Number two, he was going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths. And number three, he was to be lying in a manger. They were not looking for a baby that had a crown on its head. They were not looking for a baby that was wrapped in royal apparel, some kind of a silk blanket of blue or purple or red or scarlet. They were looking for a baby. They were looking for a baby wrapped in humble clothes, swaddling cloths, the kind of thing that comes with a tiny infant without any fanfare. And what was his bed going to be? The feeding trough of an animal. Something like this. Although in Bethlehem, the feeding trough was probably carved out of stone rather than made out of wood. But But however it was, that's what they were looking for. A baby, simple clothes, and an animal feeding trough. That's what they had to look for. That was the sign. I want you to notice something here, congregation. The shepherds learned, and their learning led to their living. The shepherds heard, and that led to action. You already know the story. What are you going to do about it? As you come to a new year, let me set this challenge before you. Maybe some of you already do this, but plan to read your Bible. Notice I didn't just say read your Bible, I said plan to read your Bible. In other words, decide what is your approach going to be, when is it going to be, where are you going to be, and what are you going to do? Are you just going to randomly open your Bible every day? Or I would suggest start at the beginning of the Bible, or at least at the beginning of a book, and read through. But here's the key. Whatever your plan is, make this part of your plan. Say to yourself every day that you open your Bible, don't simply say to yourself, I need to do this in order to make a checkbox on my to-do list. But say to yourself, I am opening the pages of Scripture because it is here that I hope to meet God. The shepherds were told about God by the angels, and they told where to look for him, and so they went to Bethlehem looking for Jesus. Jesus himself said about the scripture that these are the scriptures that speak about him. He was speaking about the Old Testament, but that also became true about the New Testament. When you open the pages of scripture, whether it's in the book of Leviticus or whether it's in the book of Luke, be asking yourself and telling yourself, I am looking for Jesus. What does this book have to tell me about Jesus? I want to see Jesus. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. When they left their fields, knowing that they had to go in the direction of Bethlehem, there is somewhere over here a manger with a baby in it. They were looking for Jesus. As you open your Bibles in this coming year, be looking for Jesus. That is how we are to respond to the announcement of his birth. Behold the birth of Jesus. But the second letter in the word birth, B is for behold, I is for inform others. Inform others of Jesus' birth. Notice here at verse 17, we read this. And when they saw it, the it was the sign. What did they see? The three things. They saw the baby. They saw that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. And they saw that he was laid in a manger. When they saw the sign that the angels told them about, when they saw it, what did they do? Verse 17, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Now, I want you to notice something here. When facts are given, they always need an interpretation. Why is this? That's the question. Why? Why did you do that? Why is this here? What does this mean? The shepherds had been given an interpretation. Not only did they simply go and say, we saw a baby laying in a manger. No, they said, here is the interpretation of what we saw, what we experienced. We went there and we met Joseph and we met Mary. And they had this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger. But now what does it mean? They made widely known not what they saw, but what had been told them, and what was told them is, look back at verse 11, they were told what was true about this baby. We could probably summarize it in four things. Number one, he was of David's line, right? This was in the city of David. Secondly, we notice that he is called the Savior. The third thing that we notice is that he is called the Christ. the Christ is the Greek term for the Old Testament Messiah. In other words, somebody who was anointed in the line of David. And the fourth thing is that he is the Lord. And most likely this term Lord, when you start comparing the Old Testament translation into Greek and the New Testament, the term Lord here simply brings us back to, this is related to, if not the Yahweh or Jehovah of the Old Testament, who is coming out in the flesh. Inform others. So this morning I ask you, congregation, what do you think of Jesus? And what do you want your neighbors to know about Jesus? It would have been important for these folks to know that he was of the line of David. Why? Because that's what they were anticipating. They were expecting it. That's what the Old Testament scriptures said. There are many ideas about Jesus today. Some say that he was simply legendary, never existed. Simply say that he was a powerful prophet, but nothing more than that. There are others who question whether or not he was truly the Son of God. What do you know about Jesus, and what do you need to tell your neighbors? What we need to tell our neighbors and what we need to tell our children is what the Bible says about Jesus. Not the kind of Jesus you imagine in your own mind, but the Jesus on the pages of Scripture. And here we find it. He was a Savior in David's line, and he came to be Lord. And so as we ask our neighbors, what do you think about Jesus? Can I tell you what Jesus means to me? And you see, it's not just personal, but this is what the Bible tells me about Jesus. He came to deliver me. Do you believe that, congregation? Do you believe that this morning, that he came to deliver you from the judgment of God? Do you believe this morning, congregation, that Jesus came into this world as a baby in order to set you free from the power and the tyranny of the devil? Do you believe, congregation, that Jesus Christ came into this world in order to set you free from your own sinful desires? This is the Savior that the shepherds went around saying, he's here. Just as the Old Testament promised, just as the Bible said he would come, somebody in the line of David, and he is the Messiah who has come to be our Lord. And so my last question before we move on this morning is this. Do you also believe that Jesus came to be your Lord? Your master. The master not just of your church attendance, the master not just of your Bible reading, but the master of your money. How are you spending your money? How are you saving your money? How are you planning your money? He is also the master of your time. How do you spend your time? How do you waste your time? What are you doing with the opportunities that God has set before you? What areas of your life would you say right now, and you don't have to raise your hand or speak out loud, I simply want you to think about this. As you come to a new year, what area of your life do you say, I have living much too often for myself in this area? How is it that in this area of my life, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Boys and girls, is it in your relationship with your parents? Maybe you say, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to honor my parents. Husbands and wives, perhaps it's in your own marriage. How do I serve the Lord by loving my spouse? For some of you, it's in your realm of work, schoolwork for the children, but the office or the factory work or the home for dad or mom. How is it that I honor Jesus as Lord of my life in these areas? So the B, behold the birth of Jesus. The I, inform others about Jesus. Now the third one is the R, revere Jesus' birth. Here we look at verse 18. And all who heard it, in other words, all who heard the message of the shepherds, what did they do? They wondered at what the shepherds told them. Now, again, what did the shepherds tell them? They told them that angels had appeared to them. And the angels told them that a Savior had been born of the line of David in Bethlehem, and he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And the angels told the folks around, they said, we left our fields and we went over to Bethlehem and we actually found a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. And the interpretation of that was, he is a Savior, he is the Messiah, he is Lord, and he is of the line of David. Those four details. That was the message that they brought. Now, why is it that the folks perhaps in Bethlehem began to wonder at this? The word wonder is sometimes translated as, and they marveled at it. They were astonished at it. One of the things that they might have been astonished about is that God would bring such a wonderful revelation to lowly shepherds. This is astonishing. If this is indeed the Son of God that has been born, if this is indeed the Savior, why is it that God delivered the message to shepherds? But you know, if you look at the text closely, it doesn't say that they wondered at the shepherds. They wondered at what the shepherds told them. They were astonished by the news. They were astonished that indeed the baby had been born who was to be Savior, who was Christ, who was the Lord. That's what astonished them. Congregation, this ought to give us great encouragement. I wonder, in our particular culture, how often we shy away from telling others about Jesus because we think that others are going to scoff at that idea. What? You believe that? Doesn't it seem to you sometimes, congregation, that the world in which we live, the culture in which we move, sometimes thinks of Jesus as somewhat fairy tale-ish, along the same lines as Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? I see it so often this season of the year. You see a display of the manger scene, and you've got the three wise men, you have some angels in the background, and Santa Claus is over here, and Rudolph is over here, and it's all mixed together, as if Jesus is a fairy tale just like the rest of it. And even though we disagree with that, how often do we act as though it's on the same level? Because I'm afraid to tell my next door neighbor about Jesus, because what are they going to say about me? What are they going to think about me? But don't you see, congregation, we have a message that when it was first delivered by the shepherds to everybody around them, they said, really? This is astonishing. Tell me more. And you saw it, and then you went to Bethlehem, and you actually saw it with your very own eyes, and the angel said this, yes, we did. We saw it. It's real. God has indeed been faithful to his promises, and it has come to be as the Old Testament said it would be. It has happened, and people marveled at it. And they said, it is astonishing. And the talk of the town the next day was, did you hear what the shepherds had to say? Did you hear that they heard from the angels that a Savior was born? And did you hear what the shepherds said about him being wrapped in swaddling cloths? And did you hear what the shepherds said about him being of the line of David? This is amazing. Congregation, we have an astonishing message. We serve a Jesus. We herald a Jesus. We speak of a Jesus who had been promised for 2,000 years to Abraham and then to David, and then he was born. And it is a message that has survived for the last 2,000 years, and it is a message that has not only survived, but it is a message that has spread around the globe. It is a message to be revered, to stand in wonder, to stand in amazement, to be astonished that God has kept His word. So, how do we respond to Jesus' birth? First of all, behold. Behold the fact of it. Inform others of the reality and of the interpretation. Who was Jesus and what was he really about? He was a Savior. The third thing, we are to stand in awe. We are to revere the revelation of Jesus Christ as the one born. But now, finally, fourthly, the T. We are to treasure Jesus' birth. That's what Mary did. Look at verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She treasured them. In other words, she stored them away. She valued them. And how did she value them? She pondered them. In other words, she was adding things together. She was gathering together her thoughts. Now think about it. Put yourself in Mary's situation for just a minute. In these last 9 or 10 months leading up to the birth of Jesus, what did she experience? Well, her cousin Elizabeth, married to Zechariah, had been in the temple. And he had seen an angel, and he came out unable to speak. And then she herself had an angel come to her, and she remembers how that angel said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary says, how can that be? I haven't known a man. And he says, the Most High is going to come upon you, and you will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Jesus. And then she went to her cousin Elizabeth's house. And when she came to her cousin Elizabeth's house, who had been pregnant at a rather old age, and as she comes into the house, her cousin Elizabeth greets her and rejoices over her and says, my baby is leaping in my womb because you are the mother of the Messiah. And then remember, Mary was about to be married, and her husband was planning to put her away. But then her husband-to-be had this revelation from an angel. And one of the last things that he said to Joseph was, when the baby is born, name him Jesus. And now she's thinking all of these things are beginning to add up. Zechariah was told that he would not name him after himself, but he would name him John, John the Baptist. And now a special name was to be given to this baby. Otherwise, they likely would have named him after Joseph in some way. But no, he has to have the name Jesus, which means Savior. Wait a minute, Savior. Here is Mary, and she has just been visited by the shepherds, and the shepherds said, we were out in our fields, and the angels told us that there was a baby to be born, and the angels mentioned the word Savior. Savior. Mary is adding all these things together, and she treasures them, and she's thinking to herself, and again, I don't believe it's in doubt, but undoubtedly thinking about all of these things and saying, what a wonder this is. All the promises of God are coming together and they are converging in my very womb, and now the baby that is here is indeed the expectation that we have been waiting for. The last time that Israel had been great, really great, was in the days of Solomon, nearly 1,000 years ago. And Israel had gone through their whole history. They had been deported to Babylon. They had been brought back from Babylon. And ever since that time, they had been waiting. But it had been almost another 500 years during that time of waiting. And now Mary is beginning to piece her history, the history of her people together, but also the birth of the baby. And she treasured these things. Congregation, do you treasure the birth of Jesus? What does this mean for my life? What does it mean for our world? As Mary treasures these things, she undoubtedly is astonished as well. Does it mean anything to you that a Savior has been born? You and I also need to be saved. We need to be saved from the curse that has been placed on all of creation. The curse that leads to suffering and disease and death and sorrow. But it is a curse that is a result of sin, our sin, your sin, my sin. Jesus came not simply to be born, and sometimes I think that's the missing element of Christmas, that we fail to think about Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. And that's why I so appreciated the message of the choir and the songs that we've been singing. It doesn't leave Jesus in the cradle, but it speaks about what he came to do to deliver us. Jesus Christ is King now, today. One of our students down in Danville will oftentimes greet me and he'll say to me, "Professor, what's the good word today?" And my most frequent answer to him is, "Jesus Christ is reigning today." This is the King who came to bring salvation, and he is reigning today because he has been victorious over sin, over death, over Satan, and he has done so by satisfying the wrath of God against our sin when he died on the cross. That leads us to the H. B is for behold his birth. I is for inform others of his birth. R is revere the announcement of his birth. The T is treasure his birth. And now finally, let us honor Jesus' birth. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned. In other words, they had been at the manger, they had gone around Bethlehem, and now they go back into the fields where their flocks were. And what did they do? They returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard. In other words, all that they had heard from the angels and for what they had seen as it had been told them. In other words, the revelation that they had from the angels matched exactly what they found at the manger, and then they told others about it, and now they return to God, praising Him, glorifying Him. The term glorify is the idea of significance. Significance. What is most significant to you on this day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Are you more curious about what's wrapped in the box under the Christmas tree? Is that more significant to you today than Jesus? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Do you say, God, there is nothing greater than the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for a sinner like me so that I might be free from hell, free from the devil, and free of my own sinful nature, that I might be free to know you, to love you, to serve you? Do you have as much excitement for God, boys and girls, as when you open your gift? We talk about the things in this world. Oh, I love that. Oh, I can't wait for that. Do you see that God came into our world as a baby? It's a fact. The angels announced it. The shepherds saw it. Mary pondered it. It's real. Jesus is real. The message is real. There is nothing greater in all the world than Jesus. How will you respond? Will you honor, glorify, praise God that he has revealed himself in the very person of Jesus Christ? Let us think about these five responses so that we would behold him, search out the facts, that we would desire to inform others. But until you have really beheld Jesus, thought about for who he is, see him in the eyes of faith, you will not want to tell others. But once you begin telling others, you will find that there are others who will revere the message that you bring. There are people in this world who do want to hear that message. They may not know it yet, but they need to hear it, and they will one day rejoice in it. And so don't be afraid to tell others. Treasure these things. Put them together in your mind, thinking what great work God has done, as Mary must have pieced all of these things together in her own mind. And when you do these things, it will lead you to the same conclusion as the shepherds. You will want to worship God. Not only on Christmas Day, not only on Sunday, but you will want to worship God with your life. God, I am yours. Because there is no other meaning and purpose in life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. Congregation, remember this one word, the word birth. And the question that I challenge you with this morning, how will you respond to the birth of Jesus? Amen. Father in heaven, as we consider the way in which these different individuals responded to the birth of Jesus, the shepherds and their eagerness to find out, the people who heard in Bethlehem from the mouths of the shepherds, even Mary herself as she considered all that she had experienced, and as she looked at her infant child in her arms. Oh, Father in heaven, may we also consider all these things. And may we see with the eyes of faith what it is that you have done and what it is that you have revealed, so that there would be an eager desire to let others know that Jesus has come into the world as Savior to deliver us from a sentence of hell and eternal death, from a guilt of shame, as well as from a condition of corruption. O Lord our God, hear our prayer, so that we too may worship in spirit and in truth the very one, Jesus Christ, who has come into this world to be our Savior. Amen.